baby, pick it up. What's wrong with you? You're alive, brother.
All right, praise the Lord. On this November the 28th, I believe that's right.
Yes.
Lord's Day, Sunday morning. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. And one way to have a good Thanksgiving, just be thankful for what you got.
Amen.
You might not have got to enjoy the company of your family. We got so much nonsense going on down here. It may have been uncomfortable to get together with your family, but there's no excuse for not being thankful. And I think, boy, a Christian ought to have more than one Thanksgiving day. Matter of fact, every day ought to be Thanksgiving to a Christian.
But
I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I noticed Miranda put a posting on the Facebook page about the first king size bed, and it showed a picture of a little manger cradle where Jesus lay, and of course He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I like that. I got a blessing thinking about the first king size bed. Amen.
Right.
But how thankful we ought to be, and how blessed we are. To be able to see God working even today in our lives. I see God about everywhere I look. I just thank the Lord for having enough discernment to know what God's doing and enough insight to be able to pick up on it and praise God for what I see. I mean, just some circumstances even happened this week. My wife's in the hospital, and we do desire your prayers. She's been in the hospital all this week, and they actually found the problem, and she's on the road to recover, but she's still going to be in the hospital for like a month. So dust your altar off and pray for her, pray for me.
Yes, Lord.
We're just going to go through this with the Lord's help one day at a time.
That's right.
Somebody said, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Mm. That's what we're going to do. We'll go to God in prayer before we do this Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm excited about it. Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us to gather in Your house. We pray Your blessings upon this day, upon our efforts today. Lord, our heart's desire is to give honor and glory to You and to Your Word and to Your work. Lord, to encourage Your children. Lord, to keep them. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, informed on the time and the things going on in the hour we're living in. Lord, we just pray to be a good watchman. Lord, to be a good under-shepherd, Lord, to feed the flock of God, Lord, the good Word of God. Father, bless today this Sunday school class. We thank You for it. Thank You for those that are online watching. Thank You for those that will be listening by way of the Internet, Lord. And thank You, Father, for those that will be here today. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A while back, we preached a message on loneliness. Mm-hmm. It was downloaded over 100 times. And then we preached right behind it, the cure for loneliness. And it's been downloaded at least 100 times. And you know, there's no reason to be lonely when God loves you.
That's right.
And He wants to have fellowship with you. And He wants to come and spend some time with you. There's no reason to have loneliness. I know sometimes we get too busy for God.
Yeah.
But we need to, you know, Jesus kind of gently rebuked Martha a little bit. She was busy, cumbered about much serving, and Jesus very gently rebuked her. And He said, Martha, Mary has chosen that good thing. She took time for Jesus. She had sat down at the feet of Jesus to hear His Word. And sometimes we need to slow down. I know we're all in a hurry, but we need to slow down, take time to be holy. Amen.
Amen.
Take time to pray. Take time to read.
Yes.
Take time to sing a hymn. I mean, there's a reason He put a song in our heart. You know, I'll just tell you right now, the Lord inhabits our praises. So have a little praise in your heart. Have a desire to spend time with the Lord. You won't ever even notice loneliness. You'll be too busy fellowshipping with the Lord.
Yeah.
We got December coming up this month. We're teaching right now in the book of Romans. And I'd like to encourage the church to put forth an extra effort to come to Sunday school in the month of December. And here's why I want you to do that. I want you to do it for this reason, to give the Lord a gift. It's something you can give. It's not an easy thing. It takes a little bit of effort to get up early, get ready. And it can be done. I promise you that it can be done.
Yeah.
But do it for this reason. Do it to give the Lord a gift. Do it to give glory to Him. And it's a small thing, but it's a big thing to God.
Yeah,
it's something you can do. I'd just like to encourage the church to make an effort this upcoming month to be in Sunday school. I know all of you listen online, and that's good. I'll take anything I can get. I'll tell you right now, my ministry is of the Word of God. I'm trying to teach and preach the Word of God,
right.
And I'm interested any way you can get it. Some people can't be here. I understand that. But if you can be here, put forth a little extra effort and get in on these teaching in Romans. It's really good.
Yes.
And our lesson this morning takes off in Romans chapter 2. And I want to back up real quick, just hit some highlights of Romans chapter 1. Verse 20 talks about they're without excuse. I mean, there's so many. It says, verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Did you know you can see invisible things?
Yeah.
Watch this. I just took a deep breath. That's something God created. He made air, so I can breathe. I gotta breathe. You take away my air, I'm gonna be like a fish out of water. I'm gonna be opening my mouth and ain't nothing gonna be coming in. But they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they're without excuse. They wanna go without God. And the Bible says the way of transgression is hard. That's the hard way. Why don't you just go with God? Why don't you just acknowledge Him? It says in verse 28, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They want to somehow have the blessing of God, but not mention the name of God, not thank God. Verse 21 says, neither were they thankful. Verse 22 said they became fools. And the world is living in apostasy today. They're doing things, we just had a conversation about nature teaching us things. They're doing things, verse 26 says, which are against nature. And, you know, they're haters of God, they're backbiters, they're despiteful, they're proud, they're boasters of evil things, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now that's just summing up Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 2, there's a lot of emphasis in here on the law of God. And it does a good job of putting the law in perspective. And I made a few notes out because there's quite a bit in here I don't want to leave out. It says, therefore thou art inexcusable. And everybody wants to excuse themselves. Excuse me, you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some things you can't get an excuse for. Here's one of them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. Now everybody has a problem with judgment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bible will give you a lot of help with that if you want help with it.
Yeah.
But you need to be careful when it comes to judging others. I mean, that Pharisee went into the house of God and man, he seen this guy over here and he's a sinner and he said, man, I'm glad I ain't like him.
Yeah.
I pay my tithes, I fast. And you know, he was more guilty than the man that said, Lord, be merciful, a sinner.
Right.
Be careful when it comes to judgment. I have found out the hard way. Everybody don't have it made.
Right.
Just this week, I went to Dollar General store to get some things, and on the other side of the aisle, I heard two women saying, they're four for a dollar. And they said, we'll just have to give them peanut butter and jelly. And I realized the extreme poverty that they had.
Yeah.
And I went around the corner. I said, would y'all mind if I gave you some money? And I'm dumb in a box of rocks. There was two women, and I gave one of them a 20. I'd give anything if I'd have gave the other one a 20. I don't know why in the world that happened like that, but that has haunted me ever since that. But they were in deep poverty. It was before Thanksgiving. They was trying to get some things to enjoy Thanksgiving with their children.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just what I call making do with what they had. Why didn't Brother Eddie give both of them a 20? I'm just telling you, God's still working on this boy. I'm trying to get to where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I had it in my heart. I could have gave him more than that. But I thought it'd be fitting to give him a 20. And why I didn't give both of them a 20, that still today bothers me. But listen, when you judge someone, remember this. Everybody ain't got it made. Everybody has their own cross, has their problems, and if you can do anything to help, you'd be better off than to pass judgment on. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Now, we are to judge. I just want you to know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It mentions that we are to judge. You've got to judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, he that spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now you notice we're talking about judging by man. We're all going to be judged by the Lord.
Right.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, judgment's mentioned again. And in verse 2 and 3, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? You just got to be careful in judgment.
Yeah.
When I say be careful in judgment, you got to judge. If you didn't judge, you'd have your children with a pedophile babysitting them.
That's
you got to do some judging. You got to decide whether something's right or whether it's wrong. You got to decide whether to send your children to school. You got to decide a lot of things. So you do have to do some judging. But when we do judge, we need to judge carefully. Not haphazardly. Everybody knows this verse. Matthew chapter 7, judge not lest you be judged.
Right.
Now I want to explain this church, right, this verse right here. This is actually sinners judging sinners.
Yeah.
And like I said, we have to judge. If we don't judge, we'll be putting our children in a bad environment. You got to judge. Like who's going to babysit your kids? Who's going to teach your kids? You got to judge even your own self, what you do, what you eat, everything. But when it comes to judging others, this verse says, judge not that you be not judged. I done been judged. I'm guilty.
Right.
But now that I've got the mind of Christ, I have a whole lot better judgment. I'm not looking down on people. We're on level plane. Or maybe I might have to look up to them a little bit because they might be my superiors. But I'm not looking down on nobody no more. But before I got saved, I did look down. I'm like, who do you think you are? Come over here and say that. I mean, that kind of judgment.
That's right.
Yeah. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you meet, it shall be measured you again. So be careful when it comes to judgment. Paul puts it in good context here. He said, you're inexcusable. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that thou judgest doeth the same thing. You know, if you're guilty, and a lot of people do this, I've noticed in politics here lately that they blame people for things that they're guilty of. They put the blame on them. Somebody knows they think it's all right.
Yeah, brother, doesn't it say that we can judge them by the fruit that they bear?
That's true. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse Matthew chapter 7, verse 15.
Yeah.
And, Matthew chapter 7 is actually a chapter about deception and false prophets.
Right.
And in Matthew chapter 7, the Lord talks about in verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves.
Right.
Verse 16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? You can pass judgment by fruit, like what Brother Ed said right there.
Yeah.
And you know whether this person's on the level or not.
Right.
It don't add up. I always say do the math. It don't always add up. Amen. Verse 2, he says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 talks about the judgment's going to begin at the house of God. Yeah, and you know what? I've done been judged. Like I told you, I was guilty. And I knew I was guilty.
Yeah.
And I pleaded mercy and got mercy. Amen.
That's right.
But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17, For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, I want to break this down real quick. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, I'm okay with that. I'm not like Job. He said, I was saved by the skin of my teeth. I'm okay with that. We're scarcely going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I actually deserve a place in hell.
That's right.
And I got spared because of my ignorance of the Bible and of God and even of sin. But I did plead guilty and I got pardoned. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, here's two more categories. Where shall the ungodly? Does anybody know what the ungodly are? Who the ungodly are? Does anybody know? That's people that believe in something like a Pharisee or a hypocrite. They believe something that's not right. They're mentioned also in Matthew chapter 7. We're in Matthew chapter 7 now. But you know what? That's good. I want people to know this.
That's right.
In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord says, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, a lot of people get caught up in this verse. Salvation is not of works.
Right.
Now, the Lord commanded all men everywhere to repent. I did. I mean, I'm guilty. I said, I'm sorry. I want to be forgiven.
Yeah.
And I repented of the wicked, sinful man in any way it was. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Now here's preachers that are not saved. Have we not prophesied in thy name?
Yeah.
And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? It all adds up, but it's empty.
Yeah.
And the reason it don't add up is the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, here's why I said what I just said right there. Verse 23, then will I profess unto them. This bunch that's mixed up, I never knew you. That's what's important.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows His sheep. You can find this in John chapter 10.
Right.
He calls them by name. They know His voice. They follow Him, although they won't follow. But to this bunch, they come to the Lord and said, we've done many wonderful works. We've cast out devils. We've preached in Your name. He said, I never knew you. That's the most important part of this context. He said, I never knew you. Now, the Lord knows me as of April 27th, 1988. And I know Him as of April 27th, 1988. And we've been walking together for a long time. But this bunch right here, they've done everything right. But the Lord said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So this ungodly crowd right here, they've been deceived, and they're going to be disappointed. Now, I'd rather be a sinner than be an ungodly person. Now, I mean, I'm scarcely going to go to heaven. I'll take it. Hallelujah. I'm going.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, I am what I am. I mean, I'm not trying to build no statues for any way. I'm trying to promote my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trying to point people to Him, trying to brag on Him, tell Him what great things He's done for me. I'm scarcely going to be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? They're going to be in the same category. It's what I'm trying to bring across here. The sinner, he knows where he's going. And the ungodly, they think they know where they're going. I just want to say this. Be careful what you call a preacher. Be careful what you call truth. Read your own Bible. If you're too lazy to read your own Bible, at least get in a church where the man of God is saved and he's read the Bible. He's been called of God to preach. I'm on my 18th time of reading the Bible through. He's not a novice. And you will learn a lot of things if you'll get in a good Bible church like that.
Be careful you call him brother.
Yeah. He said, we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. Pilate looked truth in the face, and Pilate said, what is truth? The world's kind of like that. They don't really want truth. They don't really want to know truth, but they better find truth. Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm the way, I'm the truth, No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, the greatest, I guess the greatest assembly, let me be careful here. I guess the greatest deception that there is today is probably the greatest church that there is today.
Okay.
And I'll give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
You call him Father.
Yeah.
Even though the Bible says, call no man your Father on the earth.
Right.
And I'm not going to.
No.
And there's only one potentate between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus.
Right.
I'm just telling you, your Bible is your best defense against deception. Find someone that's truly saved, truly called of God to preach, that truly knows His Bible. You'll go somewhere. You'll learn. You'll grow everything.
You know, Brother Eddie, I was thinking when Ms. Bonnie Walgo was telling the story about that preacher down there asking if she was Baptist.
Yeah.
You know, she could have very easily been Jehovah's Witness and missed heaven altogether.
What?
You know that each, every one of us could have been. You know, do I know why I'm Baptist? No, I don't know why I'm Baptist. I will say this.
Born again Baptist.
All my family was Baptist. You know, this is hereditary. It's a Baptist thing. But I am glad that Jesus Christ got a hold of me before the Baptist did.
Well, let me say this. God saves Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian,
yes,
Church of Christ.
Yes.
Hey, he saved Jehovah's Witness.
He
Mormons,
saved Jehovah's Witness if they will ask.
He sure will.
Never ask.
He don't turn no one away.
They think that they have to work to get there. And that's the problem that they have.
Paul in Romans chapter 10, he said, my heart's desire and prayer towards God for Israel is that they might be saved. A lot of people are in that category.
Yes, they are.
They're religiously lost. I'd rather be sinful lost than religiously lost any day. He says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. And, you know, in John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus doing the speaking, he that rejecteth me, a lot of people do reject Jesus, and receiveth not my words, and a lot of people don't receive his words, have one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now Paul, he's bringing out real good truths right here. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. They judge others, put others down, raise themselves up, they do the wrong kind of judgment. They do what I call condemnation type judgment because they're guilty of what they're judging other people of. They need to fix it themselves. And verse 3 brings that out. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which doest such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? God keeps good records.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing you can do is say, Lord, help them.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, forgive them. Pray for them. But in verse number 3, Jesus mentions this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. He says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? You know, we all want to be Baptists to some degree. He want to be a good Baptist. So he said, 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee 7 times, but until 70 times 7, the Lord raised that up quite a bit. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He's asking for mercy.
Right.
And the Lord's teaching here. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Now you'd think after somebody forgave this man of 10,000 talents, that he could be merciful to anybody else, but that tells us the story here. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" See, when you've been forgiven, you need to learn how to forgive others. And I think we need probably a lesson even on that. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So that's why we need to learn how to forgive, and we need to learn how to be careful when it comes to judgment. Don't have condemnation in judgment. Have discernment. Like, you know, make sure, you know, that you're not causing any hazard to your family, to your children, to yourself. You don't want to just bring anybody in your house. You wouldn't want to bring a murderer in your house. You wouldn't want to bring a pedophile. You've got to have some judgment, but don't do it in condemnation. Do it in love. Verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness?" You know, He's been good to me. I mean, buddy, he gave me more than I ever deserved. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You know, God got me good and lost before he got me good and saved. And it was the goodness of God that turned me to God. He didn't give me what I deserved. He gave me what I didn't deserve. And boy, that opened up, I mean, a well of love in my heart. That goodness of God ought to lead everyone to repentance. God's been good to all. Mm-hmm. I hear people all the time blaming God for this, blaming God for that. And I see Job there, you know what I mean? Boy, he lost everything he had. He still praised God. He said, "Naked came I in this world. Naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Learn how to praise God even in the bad times.
Amen.
Because you're going to have them. You're going to have plenty of them. But that goodness of God will get you right where you need to be. Verse 5. Well, let me throw this in there about verse 4. Luke chapter 6, just so you have an idea. Luke chapter 6, verse 30. Reading a lot of scripture this morning. Verse 30 through 38. "Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." That must be what they're doing down in California. I mean, they're breaking in, breaking the windows out of the building. They're breaking the showcases out. They're just stealing right in broad daylight. And you know, really, that is extreme to what this is saying. If someone, like, I remember when we was young, I'd go to the neighbor, my mom said, "Go down there and tell them I need a cup of eggs. Go down and tell them I need a cup of sugar, a cup of milk." And you know, they was always good to give it. We've done the same with them. "Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as you would that men should do to you, so do ye also to them likewise." It'd be great if we could do that. Treat others like we want to be treated. Verse 32, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same." In other words, the Lord's trying to say we need to be exceptional when it comes to love and forgiveness. Verse 34, "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to forgive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Now here's why I read all this. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. We just had Thanksgiving Day last week. And to a lot of people it was Turkey Day, and they didn't bow their head like we did and ask the Lord's blessings upon what they was about to receive. But the Lord don't give them a lightning bolt. He gives them mercy and He gives them kindness. And He said He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured you again. And you know, Paul here, he's talking about the goodness of God, and it leads us to repentance. Every time I think about how good God's been to me, it humbles me, because God has truly been good to me. Verse 5, but after thy hardness, you know, if we're not careful, our little heart will get hard.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best things you can do is read your Bible more. It'll keep you humble. I promise you that. That first year I got saved, April 27, 1988, I determined I was going to read my Bible through before the end of the year. And I spent most of that year on my knees saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I mean, I knew I was sorry. I just didn't know how sorry I was till I read the Bible through. And after thy hardness, and I was hard-hearted, an impotent heart, that means kind of like selfish, treasures up to thyself wrath. You know, my dad, he would hold a grudge. I think he liked to do it. I mean, everybody had to watch himself around him because he loved to hold a grudge. But the Bible talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Thank God God's got mercy. Amen. But God's not only been good to us, but in James chapter 5, verse number 3, it talks about people heaping up treasure together for the last days. It's kind of a selfish thing. They don't care what you got. They just want to get all they can get. I mean, talking about Bill Gates, you know, Warren Buffett and George Soros and all that. They could care less about you. But there is going to be a judgment. It says they treasure up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There, that riches that they've acquired, you know, I guess everybody, and I do want to have a little as much for God's in it,
amen.
But in there it talks about that riches, it says your gold and silver is cankered and the rest of them shall be a witness against you. And it shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You know, they got it the wrong way, is what I'm trying to say. There's no problem with you being rich. Just don't rob others to be rich, is what he's kind of saying here. He says, but after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. As I went to see my wife yesterday, I went in her house and they're doing the bell ringing. And I got some money out and put it in that pot. There was a little boy there. And, you know, it gave me an opportunity to talk to him. And I told him, I said, young man, you ain't going to be young forever. I said, don't forget God. The Bible says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I told him, I said, don't forget God as you grow up. Keep your mind and your heart upon Him. He loves you. But every opportunity you get, you know, try to point people in the right direction, try to give them a little something. And, you know, that's all I did. I put some money in there. I think I put a dollar in there, something like that. But, you know, that was mine to give. I gave it. And there's other people that are kind of like Bah Humbug. They're just not going to do it. And, you know, I told Donnie this, I think it was this week, that some people have money and some people money have them. They don't even get to enjoy the money they have. And they work so hard to get it, work so hard to keep it, and they still leave it all behind. But it says, after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God. Be careful when it comes to riches. Amen. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. In Romans chapter 14, Romans is a good book. I'm glad we're teaching out of it. But in Romans chapter 14, he gives us a little bit of verse 12, a little bit of advice here. Something to keep in mind. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And, you know, I kind of like to hear the words, well done. I like to hear the words, you've been faithful in little, amen. But we're all going to give an account. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. And one day I'll stand before God, and you will too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God, He wants to reward us. He wants to bless us.
Yes, He does.
And it's not really hard to get a reward or to get blessed. We just got to do those things that's right in His sight. Do them right in the sight of men and in the sight of God. You'll get your reward. Others are going to get their reward. It ain't going to be like that. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, immortality, eternal life. You know, that's our goal down here.
Mm-hmm.
Is to do right. We just got a little short life.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you now. Man, I applied for some life insurance this week, and the man said, how long do you think you're going to live? And I told him, I said, I think probably next year is going to be you. He said, why do you think that? I said, I asked the Lord, let me balance the books. I was 34 years old when I got saved. Next year I'll be saved 34 years.
Amen.
I didn't ask for no more. I didn't deserve what I asked for.
That's right.
The best I can tell, the Lord's going to at least allow me to live April 27th. But he was talking about, you think you'll live to be 102? I said, boy, I hope not.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you'll hope you don't too, amen.
Yes,
I mean, you can't hear, you can't taste, you can't see. The grasshopper's a burden. I mean, little things are big things when you get old, amen.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, not only is our life short, but youth doesn't last long neither.
Right.
And we kind of think we're still young, and I have to learn the hard way. Crawl in bed.
Most of us in here run no marge time anyway.
Yeah, crawl in bed and suffer while I've overdid it during the day, though, you know.
Yeah.
But verse 7 there, that's our goal down here.
Uh-huh.
Is to do well and to seek glory and honor. I want to do right. I want to have a reputation for doing right. Verse 8, but unto them that are contentious, a lot of people, they just want to argue. I used to be one of them. My wife still is. She'll argue with a stop sign. She got pulled over one time by a policeman over there by the Glasgow High School. I kind of like been a fly on the wall. I can just hear it now. I don't care what your radar gun said. I was not speeding.
Right.
But anyway, you know, some people,
that's right,
they're contentious. They won't admit where they've done something wrong. They'll go around it. They're contentious. And they do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteous indignation and wrath. I've met them. You probably know some even right now. They would bust a gut before they do something that's right.
Yeah.
To them, that's their life. I'm different than you, and we're all different. I can't deny that. But look, the God that judges us, He's rich unto all.
That's right.
He will give you what you deserve. Trust you me. The judgment of God is just. And anyway, our goal is to do right. But every now and then, we got to get right. Verse 8 talks about, but unto them. And it's talking about a certain bunch right here that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. They're the ones that take the statues down.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that want something for nothing.
Yep.
Something give to them.
Yep.
Man, we got a long ways to go down here, I'll tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, they don't want to do right. They want to somehow have laws rewritten to accommodate their lifestyle. I remember watching TV one time. This policeman was arresting this man. And as he was arresting this man, the man said, "I know my rights."
That's
that
right.
Policeman let go of it.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, your rights end when you break the law.
That's right.
Your rights are for you when you're not breaking the law. You have constitutional rights. You can't enforce the law when you break the law without denying the constitutional rights of the law. Now, my constitutional rights are there for me, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, until I break the law, and then I have to answer for breaking the law so the law can be served unto me. When a man that's a criminal, and he was a criminal, got caught in the act, says, "I know my rights," and that policeman let go of him, he should have hit him with a blackjack.
Yes, he should.
I'm not trying to be racist there, but you know what? When you break the law, you have to answer to the law. But they don't want to do right. They want somehow laws to be written so they can break the law and not be brought into condemnation. You know, if you'll notice today, there's no judgment.
Mm-mm.
I mean, truth is falling in the streets, judgment falling way backwards. There's no judgment today. We're paying the price for that. As I was leaving this morning, I noticed, you know, that they got a shooting, policeman. All he was trying to do was defend a store owner, and he got shot and killed as people was busting open the windows and the display cases and looting the store.
Yeah.
This policeman got shot, got killed. It's okay. He's a policeman.
Mm.
They don't care. Even an innocent person, a man was eating Thanksgiving dinner with his family, and someone shot through the wall of his house and killed him.
Mm.
Little children in a Christmas play, guy comes driving up the street. He don't care that he went through the barricades. He don't care that he run over and killed right now 6 people and maybe more to come. He don't care. Because he's not interested in doing right. He wants the laws to be bent to allow him to live that kind of life. I'm just telling you, we have to have laws. But unto them that are contentious, this is speaking to them, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteous indignation and wrath, verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil to the Jew first and also of the Gentile. God's not racist. If you break the law, He'll bring you into judgment. If you do right, you ain't got nothing to fear.
That's right.
The Bible talks about, you know, the kings of this world, they're not to be feared unless you break their commandment, break their law. Well, it's the same way with God. And tribulation, shake your fist, God, if you love me, why am I having all this problem? God's trying to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, buddy, I'm glad God got my attention.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, He makes the crooked straight, and I was crooked.
Yeah.
And He straightened me right out, buddy.
Yes, Lord.
Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You can have glory, honor, and peace, or you can have tribulation, anguish, upon the soul that doeth evil. You can have either one. If you want trouble, you can have it. If you want blessings, you can have it. But don't blame God for your trouble.
Right.
And be sure to thank God for your blessings. It says, verse 11, for there is no respecter of persons with God.
Yeah,
you know, God's not partial.
That's right.
He's not racist. They've really made a mess with this race thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've tried to make God into being a black person. Listen, He is invisible to the invisible God.
Yeah.
Jesus said no man has seen God at any time.
Nope.
And then He went further. He said in John 14, Philip, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen God. You see, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, believed on in the world, received up in glory, seen of angels, and received up in the glory. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, came down here, walked among men, gave His life a ransom for all, prayed for all to be forgiven, and ascended up into heaven. But they try to make God their color. Listen, He's no respecter of persons. Verse 12 says, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." This next part of here, we're getting into the law part. And law and grace, they're real close together. Grace goes in the same direction that law goes.
Amen.
They both go the right direction.
Yes, they do.
And this rest of this chapter here is about the law. And even chapter 3 is about the law. And even chapter 4 gets in over towards the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for grace, but also thank God for the law.
Right.
Paul said, "I've not known sin but by the law."
Mm-hmm.
And he said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Right.
Without the law of God, I could never have found the grace of God.
That's right.
God had to get me lost to get me saved.
Amen.
And I'm probably going to stop right here.
Brother Eddie, before you pray to close, Carolyn was telling me that Sue Bones is in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She's got a blood clot in her stomach and in one of her legs.
Yeah.
And we need to pray for her this morning. Pray for Denny.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Yes.
Let me say this real quick. Be careful when it comes to this Pfizer vaccine. 1 out of 4 of the Pfizer vaccines have a problem. And it's a terminal problem. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here. I'm just telling you some facts. You can check this out yourself. 1 out of 4 of the Pfizer vaccines has great potential to kill you. They don't want you take ivermectin, but if I took the Pfizer vaccine, I would, and I don't know that you even can even get it now, but I would get some ivermectin and take it. Here's why. It kills parasites.
Yeah.
1 out of 4 of those Pfizer vaccines have the parasites in them. We're talking about children as young as 8, 13, 20 have already died because of this. And also adults. When he mentioned about blood clots, that's the first thing come to my mind. Because that's what it does. It builds up blood clots in your brain, in your lungs, in your heart. And I hate to say this, but we're in a dangerous time right now. Bill Gates has admitted that he's hoping the vaccines will help in the problem of overpopulation. If you keep up with what's going on, it's kind of scary.
Yes, it is.
But he's hoping that these vaccines will help depopulate the planet so he can save the earth. I don't need Bill Gates to save the planet.
That's right.
He's not
going
to save the earth.
And we're going to have a word of prayer for Sister Sue and Brother Denny and others too. I'm just telling you, these are perilous times. You need to do your homework.
Yes.
Don't jump. I do try to keep up with this stuff going on. If you got any questions, come to me. I do. I overdo it. I try to run it down. I try to get all the information I can. It might just save your life.
That's right.
Father, we come to you on behalf of Sister Sue, Brother Denny. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you're the giver of life. And Lord, we want to come to you on behalf of Sister Sue. Lord, she's in the hospital with blood clots, and Lord, I'm concerned enough, Lord, to lift up to you by way of humble prayer. Ask you, Lord, to intervene. Ask you, Lord, to help. Lord, these days we're living in right now, they're perilous times. These are days, Lord, of danger and trouble. And Lord, I'm glad, Lord, it's well in my soul. I'm glad my name's in the book, sins on the blood.
Yeah.
But Lord, there are many people that have fallen prey, Lord, to this mandated vaccine. It's a blind man can see what's going on. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see, Lord, that direction effort being put forth into depopulating the planet. And Lord, I rebuke, Lord, Dr. Fauci. I rebuke the president. I rebuke Bill Gates and all that are involved in this, I guess you could call it genocide. Lord, it's been unleashed upon the whole world. And Lord, they're just playing the people, Lord.
Yeah.
Like a cheap guitar. Lord, I pray you'll help us to be a diligent, Lord, to do our homework, to find out the facts. Lord, to try to bring the truth to the people. Try to help them, Lord, to be able to evade, Lord, these things that are coming across, Lord, in the world today. And Lord, we just thank you for being so gracious and good.
Yes.
Ask you, Lord God, to help. We'll give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I hope you do listen to me. I don't have anything to gain, just trying to help.